Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Great Hall of Faith chapter. It's in this passage of Scripture that we see many men and women of God mentioned as being people of great faith. And they were remembered in the Word of God, not because they relied in the arm of the flesh, not because they did the things which they thought were right, but because they really sought to honor the Lord and to do the will of God. May I submit to you this morning that the Christian life is a life of faith. I once asked a great pastor, what is the secret to God's blessing in your ministry? How have you seen God do such a great work in your life? And he said, Brother Chapel, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, that seems like such a common thing to say, but let me say this morning, it is not so common when you see it in practice. Living a life of faith is God's will for each of our lives. Whether that means today putting faith in Christ to be your Savior, trusting no longer in a church or in yourself, but trusting totally in Jesus Christ, then faith pleases God. Whether it's in the matter of prayer and seeking God's help concerning the Christian life and concerning needs in your life, prayer is a matter of faith. Whether it's in the matter of giving, whether a weekly offering or a special offering, as we did this morning, then giving requires faith that God will replenish and God will continue to supply. Everything we do, witnessing, everything we do in the spiritual realm must be by faith if it will please God Almighty. Now look back, if you would, to Hebrews 11, verse 1, and see God's description for faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith in God is what brings to pass those things that today are not seen, but we trust will become a reality because of the power of God. So faith is believing in God. Faith is refusing to panic. Faith is knowing that all things still work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Now people express faith in a lot of different ways. I heard about a lady this past week who is living in a home for senior citizens, and recently a man came into the activity center there in their home, and as the man came in, he sat down near to her, and she looked him over, and she said to him, she said, you know, you look just like my third husband. She said that wavy hair and those deep, dark blue eyes and that locked, set, strong jaw, you look just like my third husband. And he said to her, he said, well, really, how many husbands have you had? And she said, two. Now, she was expressing faith in something that she hoped would become a reality. But you know, in the Christian life, faith is more than just hoping something might come to pass. Faith is believing that God is able and that God will perform it based upon His mighty power. Now, this morning, we learn about a great man of faith. We learn about a man who trusted in God time and time again. And we're going to discover this morning that his faith really began in his home as a young child. Moms and dads, I hope you'll pay special attention to the early moments of this message, because faith in the hearts of our children is not an accident. If they will have great faith in God, they're going to have to learn it somewhere. And it's God's will that they would learn it in the home at a very early age. What does it mean then to exercise faith? What does it mean to walk by faith? And what is involved in this matter of choosing to live by faith? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, this morning that if we're going to live by faith, then we must choose to surrender. Living by faith means choosing to surrender to God. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. The first thing we see about Moses' family is we learn this morning that Moses' mother and father were not afraid to surrender to the Lord. Faith surrenders to God. Now, those of you who know the story of Pharaoh's or of Moses' upbringing are aware of the fact that the Pharaoh of Egypt had passed a law that whenever the midwives were helping to deliver little Jewish babies, that they were to immediately take the life of the male child. They were to take the life in a way that would be a way of murder, and the idea was to punish the children of Israel and to decrease their population. Well, the parents of Moses had something else in mind. Rather than fearing the ungodly, wicked society in which they lived, they chose to walk in fear of Almighty God. And the Bible tells us that they hid their son Moses in the bulrushes of the river. Now, even though the Pharaoh had declared in Exodus chapter 1 that all of the sons were to have their lives taken and that they were to be murdered, Moses' parents, according to verse number 23, acted in faith and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They defied a specific royal commandment and they did what God wanted them to do. Faith then surrenders to God no matter what is happening around us in our culture. We must trust in God. Now, my friend, it is not an easy thing sometimes to put faith in God. But let me say, if we are going to walk by faith, then we must begin stepping out even today, trusting God as He leads us in each and every area of the Christian life. I had a friend say to me some years ago, he said, you know, Brother Chappell, there is no such thing as a correspondence course for swimming. If you want to learn how to swim, you've got to get into the pool. And friend, if you want to learn the Christian life, then you've got to step out by faith, whether that means in your prayers, in your child rearing, in your witnessing, whatever it is, you've got to begin trusting that God is going to meet that need. So faith surrenders to God. But faith not only surrenders to God, faith surrenders to God in confidence. Faith surrenders to God with total confidence and total trust in Him. The Bible says in verse 23 that Moses' parents were not afraid. Now picture this in your mind. Picture Moses' mother, Jochebed, taking this newborn baby, making a little basket and pitching it with tar and oil to keep it waterproofed, and then placing her son in the river. You know the story, how that Pharaoh's daughter came and found him later, and Moses was raised up in a royal family because of the faith of his parents. But really, they did not know what exactly was going to happen to Moses when they floated him down the river. All they knew was that God would provide. They trusted completely in God to take care of their child. They were not afraid. You see, faith removes fear. And anything today that we're worrying about is something that is not of faith and something that will not please God. Last week, I had many meetings with missionaries and many of the missionaries we support in Asia. And one in particular that comes to my mind is a meeting that I had with our missionary to China. He had flown into Korea from Beijing, and he was telling me about the time several months ago when he was arrested for witnessing for Christ in Beijing. This missionary was thrown into prison and spent a few days there in prison until finally they let him out and then expelled him from the country. It was only through the power of God that he was able to re-enter China and today is once again doing the work of a missionary. But he told me, he said, Brother Chappell, as you know, in China, we are serving there under the guise of English teachers, but our primary reason for being there is to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says, everywhere we go, there are spies that are watching us. And whether we're going to the market or whether we're just going downtown, there are people watching us constantly. But he said, God has given to me and to my wife a great confidence that He will take care of us as we minister in the place where He has called us to minister. You know why God has given to that missionary such confidence? Because he has faith in God. And faith removes fear. And faith gives us confidence that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, if we are going to be used of God, then we must first of all choose to surrender to God in faith. Now, this matter of walking in faith goes a little deeper, though. Not only must we surrender, but sometimes when we surrender, we are also choosing to suffer for the Lord. Choosing to suffer for the Lord. Notice, if you would, in verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice the word here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, because Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter, and because Moses was raised up in a royal family in Egypt, he had many options at his hand. He could have enjoyed the rank of a prince in Pharaoh's family. In fact, some of the inscriptions on King Tut's tomb, inscribed about Moses, tell us that Moses may have even been in line to become a pharaoh himself. He was on the track to tremendous power, prestige, and prominence in his day. But instead of taking the rank of a prince or even higher, Moses chose to identify with the people of God. And in doing so, first of all, he chose to identify with Jesus Christ himself. For the Bible tells us in verse number 25 that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. And in verse 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasures in Egypt. Here was a man who said, I could identify with the royal family, I could be surrounded by wealth, I could indulge myself in the sinful, wicked appetites here in Egypt, but instead, I'm going to identify with the children of Abraham. For it is to Abraham and his descendants that God has promised that he would bring one day the Messiah. And in identifying with the children of Israel, he was choosing to identify with Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. Yet, doing this meant that he would ultimately suffer. For the children of Israel were not in power. They were the slaves in this nation of Egypt. And so by identifying with them, he would automatically lose his prestige and his position in Egypt. Thank God for a man like Moses. Thank God for men like the Apostle Paul who said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Here we see that in choosing to surrender to God, Moses was also choosing to suffer. Now listen, here in America, many of us are willing to say, yes, I'm a Christian, until it comes to that point that we might have to suffer a little bit for it. We might be a little bit inconvenienced. Our lifestyle might be changed. Our budget might be changed slightly. Our schedule for our time might be changed slightly. Nevertheless, Moses said, I'm willing to identify with the people of God. With suffering, yes. With identifying with them, if it means suffering, Moses was willing to do that. Now, he chose to identify with Christ, and his identifying required suffering. Notice again in verse number 26, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches and treasures of Egypt. He said, I desire to identify with Christ so much that doing that is far more important to me than having the wealth here in Egypt. Now, the Israelites were depressed and downtrodden, but they were the people of God. And to identify with them meant to embrace hardship in his own life. Yet Moses chose this way. And I would say to you, he made the right choice. He made the right choice. Notice what the Bible says. There is pleasure in sin for, verse 25, a season. Pleasure in sin for a season. You know, as I have studied through the ministry over these years, people who involve themselves in the pleasures of sin, I've noticed that the indulgence in sin wears out the nervous system. It wears out the physical body, and soon the wages of sin becomes death. Now, Moses could have indulged himself in the pleasures of sin, but it would have only been for a season. He chose rather to identify with the people of God, and it was because of that that his life was recorded as a life of faith. What a great choice Moses made. If it involves suffering, then he did it to the honor and to the glory of God. Now, we see that he chose to identify with God. Notice he chose the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of this world. Greater than the riches of this world, verse 26 says. There is no indication in Moses' life that he ever looked back and said, oh boy, I wish I would have stayed there in the palace. I wish I would have stayed with the Pharaoh. Now, I was studying this past week about the wealth of Egypt. And as I studied about the tombs in Egypt, I found that even for King Tut, who was not one of the older kings when he died, but King Tut's casket is a solid gold casket, and there are two or three rooms around his casket that are lined in solid gold, and the amount of wealth in Egypt is beyond our understanding, and yet Moses said no to that in order that he might please Christ. I wonder this morning, what are you willing to say no to in order that you might raise your family for Christ? Maybe a job situation that looks so good at first. maybe a relationship that seems pretty fun at first, maybe some other type of situation that lures you. But here we see Moses said, no, I would rather identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if that means trouble or trial in my life. Now, I've noticed that many times during the holiday season, Christians who really try to live for the Lord have trials. Sometimes it may be gathering with work friends or maybe with relatives. And they're not trying to get up on a soapbox and preach, but they're just wanting to say that they're thankful to God, that they're thankful for Christ who came into their life. And when they make such expressions, many times in choosing to identify with Christ that way, they suffer because of what they believe. They are ridiculed, they are mocked, and they are made fun of because they stand up for Christ. And yet we thank God that Moses made that decision. And we are saying today that you and I must choose to identify with Christ in this hour. Someone asked me last week, they said, why are the Korean Christians so dedicated? They rise up so early for prayer. They come into the church house and they pray before the service begins. And when the last prayer is said, they stay and pray for a while before they leave. And they travel long distances on the subway to get to the church. And I really began to ponder that, and there are many thoughts came to my mind. But you know, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was simply this. When someone in Korea decides to receive Christ as their Savior, they know that in making that decision, they are turning their back many times on family and friends. They will perhaps be rejected by Buddhist relatives who will never speak to them again. And they know that it is not an easy decision. Yet when they trust Christ as Savior, they are choosing to identify with Christ rather than to identify with their own culture. You know, in America, it's fairly easy and commonplace to be a Christian. Lots of people have a little fish on their bumper and a honk if you love Jesus. And after all, this is one nation under God. Let me tell you something. It may be easy to call ourselves a Christian, but God is looking for men and women today who will not just be called Christians, but who will live by faith, even if that means it's not always popular. And there is coming a day, very soon in America, where our culture no longer respects what we believe, and some of you are going to have to choose what Moses chose, and that is this. If being a Christian means that I must suffer, then will I still be as proud to be called a child of God? Men, are you willing to stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross? Ladies, are we willing to identify with Christ and to choose Him over everything else? So choosing to surrender is vital. But also as we grow in faith, sometimes it means we choose to suffer. Notice thirdly, choosing to serve. Choosing to serve. Someone who is choosing the life of faith is choosing to surrender to God, and they are choosing to suffer for God, and they are choosing to serve God. Just a few quick thoughts on serving God. First of all, we see this morning that Moses served according to the will of God. Moses served according to the will of God. Now, the Bible tells us a very fascinating story in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, God declares that He is now going to bring judgment upon Egypt. He is going to send a death angel into Egypt land, and every family that did not have the blood of a lamb on the doorpost was going to find that death would come to the firstborn of that family. The scripture is found in your notes, or you can turn to Exodus 12, and it says in verse 5 that they were to take a lamb without blemish, and they were to take, verse 7, the blood of that lamb and put it on the doorpost of the house. And the Bible says in Exodus 12, verse 13, these words, "And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now God says, Moses, I want every family of Israel to apply the blood of a lamb. Remember, Jesus is the lamb who would be coming, but now we're in the Old Testament, to apply the blood of the lamb onto the doorpost. Now this is where the Passover was instituted. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will not judge your house. Your firstborn will remain alive. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Let's say that together. Ready? Begin. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Say it one more time. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now that's God's promise. And here we see Moses had another choice to make. Would he serve God according to the will and the word of God, or would he try things his own way? Do you know a lot of people today are trying to get to God without the blood atonement? They are trying through religion and through their own way to find forgiveness of sin. But Moses acted in accordance to the word of God. He willingly sacrificed as a service to God. And as God was showing his power to the Egyptians, he was also showing his plan of salvation to the people of God. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Let's turn to Romans for a moment, chapter 3, or look in your notes if you'd like. It's printed there in small print. Romans 3, 23. Let's see the New Testament parallel. Romans 3, 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verse 24 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth," okay? God has set Jesus forth to be a propitiation. Now, if you see that word propitiation, it means a covering or a payment. God said, "I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ. He's going to shed his blood to be the covering for your sin." Now, watch this. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of the lamb sacrificed that brought the covering for sin. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." But in the New Testament, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. And God says, "When I see the blood of my son applied to your spiritual life, then when I see that blood, I will pass over you. I will not condemn you to hell, but I will rather forgive you and give to you the promise of eternal life." Now, friend, when God sees your life, does he see the blood of Jesus Christ? Does he see that you have received Christ as your Savior? Because if you have Jesus in your life, then the blood of Christ is speaking on your behalf today. And when God sees the blood, he passes over you in judgment. A few days ago, a group of missionaries and some of the pastors from America that were in this conference took a short drive from the church where we had been preaching in Seoul up to the 38th parallel, the demilitarized zone. And there, because of a conference many years ago and an agreement between Russia and America, the country of Korea was really cut into half. General MacArthur had gone all the way up to China, and President Truman told him to come back, and the parallel was placed there. And you know the rest of it is history. North Korea became a communist nation. South Korea has freedom today. Here we were in South Korea, where there are many millions of Christians and churches establishing, and now even the Korean people are sending out missionaries and supporting missionaries. And we stood there at that 38th parallel, and we looked across over into North Korea. And as we looked into North Korea, the countryside was obviously barren. There was not one tree in sight, not one bush. Because of the lack of power and because of the lack of the developed energy and economy, they use all of their shrubs and bushes to create firewood and so forth. And as we looked into that ravaged countryside, it really struck home to me the fact that these people, just a few hundred yards from where I stood, were not able to own a Bible. They were not able to have church. They were not able to leave their country. They were not able to travel very far in their own country. Under communism, they're not able to really worship as they please. And then I thought back to America, and I thought, you know, we live in a land where men and women can worship as they please, and they can choose to receive Christ as their Savior. There's no lack of gospel messages through the churches and radio and television and all these different things. And yet in America, with all of our freedom, many people are chained in the bondage of sin today because they have never chosen to receive Christ as their Savior. My friend, what good is the sacrifice of Calvary if you do not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? But Moses chose to serve God according to the Word of God. And God's Word declares there is only one way that we can come to God, and that is by way of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, not only did they follow the will of God concerning salvation, but notice secondly, he followed according to the will of God in deliverance. Notice what it says back in Hebrews 11, verse 29. The Bible says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned." Here we're reminded of the fact that God said, "All right, Moses, Now I've seen the blood that you've placed over the doorpost. Now I'm bringing the plagues to an end. I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt's land. And God told Moses in Exodus chapter 14, he said, when you smite the rod to the sea, I'm going to part the sea. And he said, the children of Israel will walk across on dry land. Now, I heard one time a liberal theologian trying to explain that a certain wind came through and the tides parted and all these different explanations for how this miracle took place. My friend, we don't need to try to explain the miracles. We just believe the miracles. If God wants to part a sea, he can part a sea. And that's exactly what he did. He delivered his people and he judged the Egyptian army. And we see that when we follow the will of God, he will perform great and mighty miracles in our lives. He has in our church. He has in your lives. But not only will he perform mighty miracles in our lives, but he also will protect our lives. For here we see he destroyed the army of Egypt and he protected the people of God. Now, why was Moses' life blessed? His life was blessed because he chose to live by faith. And living by faith meant that he surrendered to God. God, whatever you want. That's what we want. His parents said, God, here's our child. We trust you to take care of him. It was a matter of surrender, but it got deeper than that. It became a matter of suffering, for there came a time in his life when he had a choice to make. And Moses said, I'm not going to identify with the riches of Egypt. I'm going to identify with these poor, downtrodden slaves. But they are the descendants of Abraham, and the Messiah is coming through them. I identify with them. Many Christians are very worldly 6 days a week. They get a little bit of God on Sunday, but they're identifying with the world the rest of the week. And there ought to be some men in this room to say, in my everyday life, I'm not ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. I'll choose to identify with Jesus Christ. And so living by faith involves surrender. And living by faith involves suffering. And then living by faith involves serving. And the way we serve Christ is not based on our own good works, but it's based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. For God has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. My friend, when God looks into the deeper recesses of your heart, does he see there the applied blood, the forgiveness of Christ? Does he see that Jesus Christ is making residence in your life? And if not, would you receive him as your Savior even this morning? Let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we come before you today. We thank you for Moses, a man of faith. We pray that you would help us to be a people of faith. God, we pray that you would strengthen the faith of moms and dads and Christians this morning in this room.